Time ago in Bethlehem, so the Holy Bible say, Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Hark now, hear the angels sing, a new king born today, and man of Christmas Day. Trumpets sound and angels sing, listen to what they say, that man will live forevermore because
thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more. You better watch out. Better not cry, you better not pout, I am telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, he's checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I am telling you why. 'Cause Santa Claus is coming to town. You better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out, you better not cry, you better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. I mean the big fat man with the long white beard. He's coming to town. Merry Christmas, ladies.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Buble.
Are you ready to sing a little Jingle Bells?
Yes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
just like the ones I used to know. Where the treetops glisten and the children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. The snow said, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. With every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Just one thing I need. I don't care about those presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true. You know that all I want for Christmas is you. Much this Christmas, I won't even wish for snow. No, I'm just gonna keep
all I'm asking for. No, I just wanna see my baby standing right outside my door. I just want you for my own, more than you could ever know. Make my wish come true, you know that all I want for Christmas. Jolly Christmas, it's the best time of the year. Now, I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, the mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss her once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. Baby, slip a Rolex under the tree for me. I've been an awful good guy, Santa buddy, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa buddy, a 65 convertible to steel blue. I'll wait up for you, do Santa buddy, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I miss. I think of all the hotties that I never kiss. Next year I'd be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa Pally, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lie. I've been a sweetie all year, Santa buddy, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa buddy, one thing that I really do need, the deed to platinum mine. fill my stocking with Canucks ticks for kicks. Throw me on the first line, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Mercedes. I really do believe in you. Now let's see if you believe in me. Santa Poppy forgot to mention one little thing. Cha-ching. No, I don't mean as alone, Santa buddy. So head down the chimney tonight. Head down the chimney tonight. Oh, head down the chimney tonight. Yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Golden day of yours, faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together. If the fates allow, hang a shining star upon the highest bough, and have yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Good morning, Ascend Church. Happy first Sunday in December. We're going to start it off with a song that might be a little familiar. We invite you to sing with us and worship with us. Amen.
My heart, he changed my name, forever free I'm
for my salvation, that I know my end will be with Him for eternity. I give you praise for what you've done on that cross and in my life. Come on, we're gonna sing about it. Hell lost another one, I am free. Come on, I am free, I am free. Hell lost another one, I am free, I am free, I'm free.
Another one. I am free. I am free.
Oh, somebody declare.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
I am free. Somebody sing it loud.
Hell lost another one. I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
I'm free.
I am free.
Hell lost another one.
Hell lost another one.
I am free.
I'm free. I am free.
We gonna rub it in the devil's face.
Hell lost another one.
You can do. Come on. So we give you honor, God. Hallelujah. So to those dreams that you don't believe, come on, we're going to sing to it. We're going to say, get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Come on.
Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave. Get up, get up, get up, get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out.
Get up, get up, get up.
Oh.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up, get up, get up. Get up out of that grave.
I see
it. Get up, get up.
I see some dreams coming alive. Come on.
Get up, get up, get up.
Hey.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
Savior, I thank God.
Somebody shout out and pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Just praise the Lord.
Say of the Lord, you will cover me in strength, keep me underneath your wings. Arrows fly by day, in your shadow I am safe. Angels guard my way, so I will not fear the terror of night. It will not come near. Your presence is light, and I find refuge in your love. You're my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I take shelter in your name. Amazing grace. Say of the Lord, though destruction plague the day, the name of Jesus saves. Enemies beware, He will save me from the snare. No harm can carry. it will not come near. Your presence is a light, and I find refuge in your love. You're my fortress, my God in whom I trust. I take shelter in your name. Amazing grace, mighty place. Amazing. I find refuge in your love. Come on, sing it. You're my fortress.
Church this morning. You know that song that we were singing right there, that is Psalm 91. And in Psalm 91 there is a call from God to come to the shelter of His presence. And that when we come to the shelter of His presence, that no matter what's going on around us, it says there can be plagues, there can be destruction, there can be 1,000 falling on one side and 10,000 on the other side, but it won't come near us. There are promises in the Word of God. And right now, in this time of the service, we our prayer team are going to be up front. And if you need prayer for anything that you're facing, there is a promise of God for you. And we want to agree with you. We want to pray over you. We want to pray for, if you need healing in your body, if you need peace of mind, if you need comfort from the Holy Spirit, whatever it is you need, feel free as we sing this final song. just step out of your seat. Come up. One of us would love to pray with and for you. And I'm going to pray for those. Welcome to those watching online. For those that are watching, Father God, you know every situation. You know the needs of every person, Father, as they call out. Just call out to the Lord whatever it is that you need from him. Father, I stand in agreement. We declare the promises of God. We declare healing and health and strength and peace of mind and joy, Father God, prosperity, whatever it is that is needed. We thank you that you are the God who hears and answers prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we're going to sing this final song. So if you need prayer for anything, don't feel shy. Just come on forward. And if you're not coming forward, just forget about everybody around you and worship God with us this morning. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I thank you for your presence. Such a sweet presence. Thank you, Jesus. Words short, and I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? And I could sing songs as I often do, but every song was dead. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Just with my arms stretched wide, oh, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. It's all much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Worship you, we're not afraid to worship. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Somebody needs to sing that over themselves this morning. Come on.
So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, somebody lift up praise, come on.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
And I know it's not much,
not nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I can sense that we need to be in this place. I feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you to talk to yourself, prophesy over yourself. Tell yourself when you're discouraged, when you feel like you can't get up, come on, my soul. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter where I am. All that matters is my praise going unto God, because he has been so good to me. And through that praise, I will see victory. Come on, somebody, and testify if you know what I'm talking about this morning. Let's sing it out.
Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord.
Get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. Cause you got a lion inside of those songs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Somebody, you just made the enemy mad, because he thought he had you down. He thought he had you out, but you lifted up your voice. You raised your hands in this place. In spite of everything, God is faithful. Somebody, give him praise. Now, if you receive that, praise him, give him honor, thank him. Come on, it's all about thankfulness, gratitude. God, we worship
hallelujah.
You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I choose to praise the Lord. I tell my flesh, I tell my mind, I tell my mouth to praise the Lord. I choose to do that. I'm not going to be one of those Christians who just says, let somebody else sing for me. I'm going to sing, let my voice be heard in praising God. Father, we glorify you in this place. Father, we gather not just for a social gathering. We gather not just for to make ourselves feel better, but we gather, number one, we gather to worship you. We give you honor. We give you glory. Come on, somebody. If you're thankful, I want you. I'm not looking to stir you up in the natural. I'm looking to stir you up in the spiritual. Open your mouth and tell God what you're thankful for. I'm thankful, Father, that I got up this morning. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm alive and
yes,
well.
Yes.
Thank
we
you,
worship
Jesus.
You, Lord.
We glorify you. Father, we welcome
you,
your presence in this place.
We glorify
place.
You.
We come
we
for no other reason
you.
But to gather in your presence as your children. You said we are your children, and we're thankful. We are thankful for our salvation. We are thankful that you came, Lord Jesus. We're thankful, Father, for the plan of God that you laid out before the foundation of the world, the plan that you invited us into. Father, we're thankful that you thought it all out. Everything that is for my good and my benefit, you thought it out before I even chose to walk with you. And I'm thankful, and I'm thankful. throughout eternity. Let me tell you, family, when you enter, when you take your last breath as a child of God, and when you step into glory, you are going to realize what it is that He did for you. You're going to get the full impact. And let me tell you, you wouldn't be able to stop praising God for everything He saved you from, everything He did for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a great salvation. What a great salvation. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's December and it's the Christmas season, and we start thinking about, let's hope we're thinking about more than twinkling lights. We're thinking about the plan of God, where they sat in the heavenly realm and they planned out, what are we going to do to rescue mankind? And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll go. And the Father laid out a plan. And when He was born on that Christmas morning, let me tell you, it wasn't Mary's plan. It was God's plan for you. And so let's think about, let's make a concerted effort to read that Bible story of Jesus coming to the earth and think about the impact it has on our lives for eternity. Amen. Praise God for Jesus. Hallelujah. I like being in church. How about you? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Welcome, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. Welcome to Send Church. Won't you just turn and greet someone? Tell them, I'm glad you're here. Amazing musicians and singers. Praise God. You know, they choose to use their talent for the kingdom of God. You know, Muff's been doing this a long time. You're a church boy, right, Muff, on those drums? But he chooses to be in church every time the doors open. Every one of these guys, man, and the singers, we're so thankful for them leading us into God's presence. Well, welcome to church today. Welcome to everyone that's present. I like this moment to just get a look and see who's here. And we're glad that you're here. And welcome to those that are watching online. We love that you're able to. I love that, you know, through this whole time where some people were staying home, that there was the means, the technology to watch from home. But don't choose that over being in church. Never choose that. There's no substitute for being in church. So if you're able to, if you're close enough, come to church. If you're watching online, welcome. Let us know. If you're watching on Facebook, let us know where you're watching from. Comment, take notes, and participate in the service. We're glad that you're joining us today. And for those that are in church with us today, we want to welcome everyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at our church, welcome. We hope you feel welcome. We've got a very welcoming congregation. So if you're here for the first time, our ushers are going to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time this morning? Anybody here for the first time? I don't see any first-time visitors. Come on, over Christmas, let's invite some people to church. You know, there's certain seasons where people are more open, where they're like, maybe I should go to church. And get people into church over this Christmas season. Let God touch their lives. Amen. We're going to pass a register by. Let us know that you're here. If you've got any changes to your address or email, phone number, let us know. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. If you don't get our text message, text the word ASCEND to 313131. I got dropped off of it somehow, and so I text the word ASCEND. So Pastor Steve said to me in the week, thank you for joining our text list. So If you need to be on there, just text the word ascend to that number. And I just want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you would know God. First one is that you would know God. Second is that you would find freedom in every area of your life. Third one is that you discover your purpose. And lastly, that you'd make a difference with your life. I want to do that. How about you? Amen. Praise God. Well, as we get on with the service, we have a video that we're going to watch before Pastor Steve comes up for the message.
Merry Christmas. We are Steve and Jill Barry. We're the pastors of Ascend Church in Jupiter, Florida. And we want to tell you about some fun and exciting events that we have going on at Ascend Church during this Christmas season.
Yes, every Sunday throughout December, we are going to have our Christmas photo op set up in our lobby. And this is a great way for you to come and take some amazing family Christmas photos.
On Sunday, December the 12th at 10 a.m., we have our live nativity scene with the petting zoo. This is always a big hit with the kids because they get to pet the animals. And we're going to have barnyard animals, and we're going to have sheep and donkey and cows and the nativity scene. And it's always a lot of fun. Right.
And then on Sunday, December 19th, directly after our church service, which is at 10 a.m., we have our Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. And this is a time where we all bring a dish from our culture. All of us get to taste everything. And it's just going to be a fun food fest.
Yes.
Also on December 19th, our children's church is going to be having their Happy Birthday Jesus Christmas party. And every child is going to get a gift.
Our Christmas Eve service is on Friday, December 24th from 7 till 8 p.m. Our musicians and singers will be performing some of your favorite Christmas carols, and I have an inspiring Christmas message about the meaning of Christmas.
So we hope to see you at any or all of our Christmas events. Please bring your family and friends. You know, our church is so friendly, and our people are so welcoming that your kids are going to have so much fun at Children's Church. We hope to see you.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. And we hope to see you at Ascend Church this Christmas season.
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, it's good to see you in church today. I'm glad you are here. Amen. So as you heard, today is the first Sunday of December, and we've got some things going on. Today we've got a photo op set up out there. I don't see our photographer, so you're going to have to do selfies today. But we got the photo op set up. And then next Sunday, we're having the nativity scene that we set up outside with the petting zoo, with animals. The kids always love that, so don't miss that next week. And then the following Sunday, the 19th, is when we have the Christmas Around the World potluck lunch. That was a great... there was a lot of fun last year. It's where you bring something from your culture, something maybe that's a little different, and we're going to have tables set up, and we're all going to just enjoy time of fellowship and eating. So that's on the 19th of December. And, of course, don't forget Christmas Eve service, Friday, December 24th. Don't forget that. Amen? It's going to be a one-hour service. You know, I was thinking about this. I was watching the movie Schindler's List. Have you ever watched the movie called Schindler's List? Anyone seen that movie? It's a powerful movie, man. It's long, but anyway, at the end, Schindler's List is a story. It's a true story. It's about Oskar Schindler, who was a German industrialist, and he owned a factory, and he had 1,200 workers. And anyway, he was a member of the Nazi Party. But then he started helping Jewish people. He started paying bribes to Nazi officials to save their life. And he ended up spending his entire fortune, and he saved 1,200 people from the death camps.
And I mean, he's a hero in Israel. If you go over to Israel, you know, he's buried in Israel, and because of what he did. But at the end of the movie, right at the end, as the wars come to an end, the Second World War, and the Allies have, you know, are coming into Germany, they've defeated them, and so Oskar Schindler, he's leaving, and all the prisoners all gather around his car, 1,200 of them or 1,100 of them, and that he saved, and they've all written a letter telling what he did, and they've all signed it, and then they made him a ring, a gold ring, and on the inside, it's something from the Talmud, and it says, "He who saves one life saves the world in time," something like that. And anyway, he's so moved by this, and he looks at the car, and he says, "I could have sold that car. I could have saved 10 more people. I could have got more people out." And then he takes his little Nazi badge, and he said, "This is gold. I could have got at least one more person. I could have got one more person." And he starts to weep, and he starts to cry, and he falls down. And the man, one of the Jewish people that was working with him said, "You saved 1,200 people. People are alive because of you." And he's like, "Well, I could have got one more." And I thought, this is how it hit me. When we stand before the Lord, when we stand in heaven one day, and we look back, let's not have regret and say, "I could have saved one more. I could have invited one more person to church. I could have given one more dollar to the kingdom of God." I don't want to have any regrets. I want to stand before God and knew that I gave my all, knew that I did everything that I can do. And the reason I say this is when I look at the church today and I see we don't have one single new visitor here this morning, my heart begins to get grieved. The heart of God is grieved because, folks, time is short. If you don't realize that we are in the last days, if you ever doubted that, what's going on in the world right now is the beginning of the end of the world. It just Jesus is coming back, and they're getting you ready. The world is getting ready now, right now, to comply and to follow the Antichrist. That's what we're getting ready for. And we don't have time to waste. We have to share the gospel. We have to bring people to church. We have to share the good news. Jesus could be coming back any moment. Thank you for your amazing enthusiasm this morning. I'll just carry on preaching anyway. Okay, Tom, are you with me? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you left heaven and you came to the earth and you gave your life. You suffered a cruel and gruesome death and you went down into hell for 3 days and 3 nights, Lord, to redeem us. You did that because you love us. You did that, Lord, to save us. And we thank you today. We praise you today. We are grateful, Lord. We are grateful for our great salvation. We are grateful that you have redeemed us, Lord. And I pray, Father, that every one of us would have a burden and a passion for lost people, that we would see people as being lost, and that we would reach out, and that we would show the love of God, and that we would share the good news, and we would simply invite them to come to church, Lord, that we want to populate heaven and we want to plunder hell, Father. And I thank you, Lord, as I speak your word today. I trust that you'll speak to every person. I trust, Lord, that your word will bring revelation. I trust your word will bring freedom. I thank you that every chain will be broken. I thank you that all apathy and lethargy is broken off of us. I thank you for passion that burns in our heart, Lord, that we are not lukewarm, that we are on fire for you, Lord, that we're going to stand before you and we're going to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Father, I give you all praise for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen, somebody. Today I want to speak about the believer's authority. The believer's authority. One of the greatest revelations that I ever received in my life
was understanding the authority that I have in Christ, because you will not be able to walk in victory and you will not be able to live the abundant life that Jesus came to bring you without knowing the authority that you have in Christ and without using that authority. It's one of the things that people noticed about Jesus. They noticed the authority that he demonstrated. The scripture says in Luke chapter 4, in verse 31, his teachings stunned and dazed them, for he spoke with penetrating words that manifested great authority. And in the congregation, there was a demonized man who screamed out with a loud voice, "Hey, you, go away and leave us alone. I know who you are. You're Jesus of Nazareth, God's Holy One. Why are you coming to meddle with us? You have come to destroy us already." And just then the demon hurled the man down on the floor in front of them all. But Jesus rebuked the demon and he said, "Be quiet and come out of him." And the demon came out of him without causing him any harm. Great astonishment swept over the people, and they said among themselves, "What kind of a man is this who has such power and authority? With a mere word, he commands demons to come out, and they obey him." It says the reports about Jesus spread like wildfire throughout every community in the surrounding region. And after leaving the meeting that day, Jesus went into Simon's house, that's Simon Peter, where Simon's mother-in-law was sick. She had a high fever, and the disciples begged Jesus to help her. So Jesus stood over her and rebuked the fever, and she was healed instantly. And then she got up and she began to serve them. And at sunset, the people brought all those who were sick to Jesus to be healed. And Jesus laid his hands on them one by one, and they were all healed of different ailments and sicknesses. Demons also came out of many of them, and the demons knew that Jesus was the anointed one. So they shouted while coming out, "You are the Messiah, the son of the El Shaddai." But Jesus rebuked them and commanded them to be silent. That's just a day in the life of Jesus. That's just one day in the life of, that's just one afternoon in the life of Jesus. That's what it was like walking around. I mean, he's casting out demons. He's praying for people to be healed. And they bring every person to him, and he heals them all. Another time, Jesus told his disciples in Luke chapter 8, he said, "Let's go up, get in the boat, and we're going to cross to the other side of the lake." Jesus said, "We're going to the other side of the lake." But what happened? A huge and a fierce storm arose, and the boat began to fill with water because the waves was so strong, the wind was so strong. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat, and the disciples woke him up. They were panicking. They said, Master, we're going to drown. We're going to die. Don't you care?" And the Bible says in verse 24, with great authority, say authority, Jesus rebuked the howling wind and the surging waves, and instantly they stopped, and they became as smooth as glass. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you fearful? Have you lost your faith in me?" Shocked and shaken, they said in amazement to one another, "Who is this man who has authority," say authority, "over winds and waves, that they obey him?" Now, why did Jesus say to the disciples, you know, "Why are you so fearful?" Because he told them to go to the other side, and he'd given them authority over demonic spirits, so they could have stopped that storm if they had the authority to do it. The Bible says in Matthew 10:1, Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of illness. Now, Jesus would not have expected his disciples to do something that they couldn't do. He's like, you know, "Why'd you wake me up? Why are you so fearful? Why have you lost your faith in me?" He'd given them authority over demons, but they didn't use their authority this time. They didn't do anything about it. And let me tell you, in the same way, today, there are so many believers who are not using the authority that God gave them in Christ. That often we allow things to take place in our life that we have authority over. We could rebuke those things. We could command the enemy to stop, but we don't. A lot of Christians don't even know that they have any authority. They think everything's up to God. If the Lord wants to, He will. If the Lord doesn't want to, He won't. Let me tell you, God wants you to understand the authority that He has given to you as a believer to rule over the circumstances of your life and to over any demon that would try and harass you. In fact, the Apostle Paul, he knew about the authority we have in Christ, and he prayed that the church, that we would understand the authority and power that has been given to us in Christ. You can read that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. It's a great prayer to pray over yourself. It says, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, that He may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Say, thank you, Lord, that you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation that I can know you better. He said, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you and the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints and His incomparably great power for us who believe. He said, I want you to understand the incomparably great power that you have as a believer. This power is like the working of His mighty strength which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority. Say authority. Jesus has been seated far above all authority, all power, all dominion, every name that is name, every name that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet, and He appointed Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all everything in every way. The Bible says that Jesus has been exalted and everything has been put under His feet. Every name that is, He's got a name that's above every name. He's been raised up far above all authority, all power, all dominion. And how many of you know that we are the body of Christ? And if everything's been put under His feet, the feet are on the body. That means everything's been put under my feet as well. Amen. We can see from this prayer, God wants us to have a revelation of our authority and the power that we have in Christ. Jill and I graduated from Bible College, Rhema Bible College, in 1982. And it was founded by Kenneth E. Hagin. And his teaching on the authority of the believer changed my life forever, changed our lives forever. And he told, Kenneth Hagin told how he prayed that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 over himself. Over and over and over. And as he began to pray those prayers, spiritual understanding began to flood his life. He began to have revelation. He began to understand the authority that we have in Christ. See, Ephesians 1 says that when Jesus rose from the dead, He was seated far above all authority and every name that is named. And He's the head over the church, which is His body. And God placed all things under His feet. And your feet are on your body. So if God placed all things under the feet of Jesus, that means all things are under our feet because we are the body of Christ. Can you say amen? God created you to live with authority. In Genesis 1:26, right back at the beginning, when God created Adam, He says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over all the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, and over all the earth, over everything that creeps on the earth. They had, God gave Adam complete authority over everything that was on the earth. But when Adam disobeyed God, and when Adam sinned and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he committed high treason, and he gave the authority that God had given him over to the devil. And that's why the Bible says this about the devil in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, he's blinded the minds of those who do not believe,
The Bible calls Satan the God of this world. Now, he's not the creator of the world, but he's in control. If you hadn't noticed, let me let you in on a secret. All the crazy, terrible things going on in the world, the devil's the one behind it. He's called the God of this world. Say amen, somebody. Some translations say the God of this age. You see, because Satan's time on this earth is limited. Jesus is coming back, and Satan's going to be bound and thrown into a bottomless pit. But currently, Satan is still operating as the God of this world. And that explains why the world is in the condition that it's in. Because Satan is dominating, controlling, and manipulating the world and the people that are living on it. Now, if you don't know who Satan is, Satan used to be an angel called Lucifer that God created. And the Bible talks about him in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, mighty though you were against the nations of the world. For you said to yourself, I will ascend to heaven and rule the angels. I will take the highest throne. I will preside on the Mount of Assembly far away in the north. I will climb to the highest heavens, and I will be the Most High God." That's what Satan's after. "But instead you will be brought down to the pit, down to the pit of hell, down to its lowest depths. Everyone there will stare at you and ask, can this be the one who shook the earth and the kingdoms of the world?" Let me tell you, when the devil is revealed who he really is, people are going to look and say, is this the one we listen to? Is this the one that we let follow, dominate our life when he's revealed? Ezekiel said this about Lucifer in Ezekiel chapter 28. He said, "You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. The workmanship of your timbrels and your pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created." It's talking about Lucifer, who became Satan. "You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." It says you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they may gaze at you." Now, Lucifer was an archangel created by God. I believe that he used to lead worship in heaven because he was built with musical instruments on the inside of him. I also believe that's why the devil uses music so powerfully to influence people today. He's got musical instruments on the inside of him, but he became proud and he rebelled against God and he tried to take God's place. And there was a war that took place in heaven. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 12, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was there found a place for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's talking about demons. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Let me tell you, this is better than Star Wars. Star Wars got nothing on this. People watch the Star Wars saga. Let me tell you what, the Bible is unbelievable. It's just not unbelievable, but it's just amazing when you see it, all this that happened. There's war in heaven, and Satan's cast out, and Lucifer, he hates God. But he can't overcome, he can't hurt God. So what does he do? He tries to hurt God's children. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Let me tell you, the devil is behind all the stealing and all the killing, and all that. Anytime you see destruction, the devil is, that's his work. Don't blame that on God. Whenever you see life, an abundant life, that's Jesus. That's what he does. That's light and darkness. Are you with me? The thief is the devil. He's come to the earth to steal and kill and destroy. So whenever you see these things happening in the world, you know who's behind it. But Jesus came to bring us abundant life. Isn't that right? Now, in 1 John 5:19, it says, we know that we are children of God and that the world around us is under the control of the evil one. Whether you realize it or not, there are hostile, demonic forces all around us that are trying to destroy us, trying to frustrate us every opportunity that they get. Ephesians 6:12 says, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Who are we fighting against? You got to realize that many of the problems that you are facing are caused by demonic spirits trying to attack you, trying to frustrate you, trying to steal from you. You got to see who's behind it. See, when someone is harassing you, realize you're not really fighting flesh and blood. They are under the influence of demonic spirits. Are you with me? Yet a lot of Christians don't even realize that they have an enemy. They don't realize that they're surrounded by hostile demonic forces whose sole purpose is to destroy, frustrate, hinder, and harass you. They're trying to stop us from experiencing abundant life and joy and peace and prosperity and health and success. The devil doesn't want you to learn your authority because he wants to maintain control over believers. He wants us to be ignorant of our authority so he can keep Christians in a state of defeat. Are you with me? Hosea 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lot of Christians are being destroyed today because of what they don't know, because of what their church isn't teaching them. Many of God's people are being destroyed. They don't know the authority they have. They don't know that Jesus gave us back authority. In Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus came close to them. This is after Jesus' resurrection, after he rose from the dead. He said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, all the authority in the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. See, Jesus said this after his resurrection. Because when Jesus arose from the dead, he had conquered Satan. He defeated death. He defeated sickness. He defeated poverty. He rose triumphant. And he gained back the authority that Adam had given over to the devil, and Jesus immediately transferred that authority over to us, the church, his body, and he told us, now you go in my authority and you do the things that I did. You lay hands on the sick, you cast out demons, you make disciples of all the nations. The works I've done, you go do them too. Are you getting this today? Colossians 2 verse 15, such a powerful verse. It says, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them at the cross. And the New King James says, having disarmed the principalities and the powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. The Passion Bible says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner. See, what does it mean when the Bible says Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and he triumphed over them? That is specifically referring to the way that the Romans would have a triumphant procession when they defeated an enemy. The Romans would hold a parade and they would take the conquered king and they would strip him naked and drag him through the streets of Rome for all the citizens of Rome to see. His whole army would be bound in chains. He would be humiliated. He would be insulted. And they would cut off his thumbs, cut off his toes to assure their citizens that this enemy would never be a threat to them again. He would never hold a sword again. He would never be able to run again. There was no need to fear this enemy anymore. Any rumor of this enemy challenging Rome again would be scoffed at because the citizens had seen him in the triumphant parade where he had been triumphed over. And let me tell you, the same thing happened to the devil. Jesus triumphed over the devil. That's what this verse is talking about, that Jesus conquered him. He stripped him of all his authority, and he they had a parade where Jesus displayed the devil and every demon before all of heaven and hell. They saw him being triumphed over. In fact, the Message translation says it like this: he stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross, and he marched them naked through the streets of hell. He triumphed over them. Let me tell you, Jesus not only beat the devil, but he had a triumphant procession to display the devil as a conquered foe, so that the devil never need terrify us again, because he has been spoiled. He has been triumphed over. Are you following with me, church? But unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians that don't know about the parade. They miss the parade. They haven't seen God's triumphant procession that is pictured in the Word of God, where Satan is displayed as a totally defeated foe. And there are people circulating rumors that Satan is a powerful foe to be reckoned with and to be afraid of. But let me tell you, that is not true. Satan is still alive. And yes, Satan still has power. And yes, we still have to deal with him. And yes, we still wrestle against him. But he's got absolutely no authority to use his power against us. We have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, and we have been given authority over the enemy, and the God's power backs us up, family. God is backing us up. That authority belongs to us, whether you realize it or whether you don't, because a lot of Christians, they don't know this. They think everything's up to God. Whether they are victorious, it's all up to God. Whether they are healed, it's all up to God. Whether they are prosperous, it's all up to God. Most believers don't take authority because they don't know anything about it. But thank God that's not you. You can never say, I never knew about that, because Pastor Steve is teaching you about the authority you have in Christ. Let me tell you, so many of God's people suffer at the hands of the devil because they don't realize that many of their problems are caused by evil spirits who attack them through people, through circumstances. We got to use the authority God has given us, family. We've got to take authority over demons that come against us and try and attack us. You got to stand up and speak to the mountain, or otherwise the mountain won't be moved. It's time. You got to tell the devil where to get off, man. You've got to speak to him. Amen. See, what is authority? Authority means it's the power or the right to enforce obedience. It's the right to command. It is delegated power. A great example of authority is a policeman who can step out in front of traffic, hold up his hand, and the cars stop. He doesn't have the physical strength to stop the car. The traffic stops. Why? Because of the authority that he has. People knows he represents the government. There's a lot of power behind that policeman. You may knock the policeman down, but there's 10,000 other policemen standing behind him. And behind, that's not enough. There's the Army, the Air Force, and the Navy. That's why we stop for the policeman. Authority is delegated power. In other words, authority is only as good as the amount of power that is supporting it. Well, what kind of authority do we have? Who do we have backing us up? Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Now you understand that I've imparted to you all my authority to trample over his kingdom. You will trample over every demon before you and overcome every power that Satan possesses. Absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in this authority." Someone said, "I'm so scared. I make it COVID. I make it the Delta. I make it the Omni. What is it? The Omicron? The Omni? What is it? I'm so scared." Listen, man, stop being scared and take authority. Nothing, absolutely nothing shall harm you. Ephesians 6 verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You see, there's a lot of authority behind that policeman, but there's far more behind you, because let me tell you, you know who's backing you up? God the Father, Jesus, his Son, the Holy Spirit, and all the angels of God are backing you up. We got no reason to be afraid of the devil or the problems he causes. We can step out in front of him, lift our hand, and command him, "In the name of Jesus, you stop right now." And he's got to listen to you. He doesn't stop because of you are, because of who you are, but because of who you represent. You speak on behalf of Jesus. And Jesus said in John 14:12, "The person who follows me in faith, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father." The person believing in me will do the same miracles that I did. For I will do whatever you ask me to do when you ask it in my name. And this is how the Son will show what the Father is really like and bring glory to him. "Ask anything in my name, and I might do it for you." Maybe you never know what God's going to do. "Ask anything, and I will do it for you." Now, the word "ask" in that verse can really more accurately be translated as the word "require," "call for," "claim," or "demand." Whatever you demand in my name, I'll see that it's done. We're not demanding from God. We're not praying to God. This is talking about doing the works Jesus did. Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil, and he said he'll do the same things through us when we demand it in his name. See, we're demanding Satan to obey. We're demanding the will of God to be carried out on God's behalf. We're demanding it. We demand circumstances to line up with the Word of God. And if, when you pray for someone who's sick in their body and they need healing, on the behalf of Jesus, you demand the sickness to go and you speak on Jesus' behalf. You take authority in his place. You bring things into order with the Word of God and the will of God. You demand circumstances and demons to obey the will of God. Are you with me this morning? Let me tell you, when you get bold and you demand, instead of Mickey Mousing around with the devil, he'll pay attention to you. You can say, now listen, Mr. Devil, I won't bother you and you don't bother me. I'm asking you nicely now. I'm asking you pretty please. Cherries on top, please. Please, please, please don't put the sickness. Devil, he don't work like that. Devil's a bully. It's only one way you deal with a bully. You've got to stand up to him in the name of Jesus. He tries to put sickness on me. I'm not accepting that. I resist you, sickness. I demand you. Go from me in Jesus' name. When my kids were little and they would get sick, I wouldn't just say, "Oh, well, you know, all kids get sick." I don't believe that. Jesus took my sicknesses and he bore my diseases, and by his stripes I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. And if I am healed, then I is healed. So I is healed. So I would pray over my kids. Sickness, you go in the name of Jesus. I command you to go. I release God's healing power. That's how we raise the kids. That's how we use that authority. The Apostle Peter, he knew his authority. He did this. One day, Peter and John were going on their way to church to go to prayer meeting, and there was a lame man sitting outside, and he asked them for money. And Peter turned to him, and Acts chapter 3, it says, Peter said, I don't have money, but I'll give you this. By the power of the name of Jesus, by the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And Peter held out his right hand to the crippled man, and he pulled the man to his feet. Suddenly, power surged into the crippled feet and ankles, and the man jumped up, stood there for a moment, stunned, and then began to walk around. And as he went into the temple courts with Peter and John, he leapt for joy, and he shouted praises unto God. Amen. Peter knew his authority, man. He didn't say, well, my brother, you never know what God wants to do. Whatever the will of the Lord is. Bunch of religious garbage, that is. He just grabbed him and said, man, in the name of Jesus, I'll give you what I got. Be healed in Jesus' name. Do you think you can still do that today? Do you think God lost his power today? I said, do you think God lost his power today? No. In Acts chapter 9, look what Peter does. It came to pass as Peter went through all the parts of the country that he came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. And he found a certain man named Ananias. He'd been bedridden for 8 years, and he was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Ananias, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. Can you believe this guy? And he arose immediately. Peter had this boldness. He knew his authority. It says all the people who lived in Lydia and Sharon, they saw him and they turned to the Lord. See, that's what's going to happen when we demonstrate that our God is alive. When we use the authority that he has given us and pray for people and bring healing to people. You speak on behalf of Jesus. You address that circumstance. You do the works of Jesus. When you find a circumstance, you ask yourself, what is the will of God? What would Jesus do in this situation? Then speak like Jesus would speak. If there's a storm that comes against you, demand it to cease in the name of Jesus. We must use our authority. We must speak to the storms of life. That's what Jesus expected of the disciples. And you know, all around us, people are suffering as a result of people are, you know, suffering with sickness, with addictions, with depression, lack of finances, fears, unemployment. People don't realize this is the devil at work, and they lie down. They just let him take control. You got to remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Say, my struggle's not against people. Say, my problems are not really caused by people. See, your problem really isn't your boss, your employer, your staff, your clients, the government. Your problem really is the devil. He's your enemy. A lot of people don't realize who the real and true enemy is, and we got to take authority over that enemy. If we don't, then it won't be done. God will not exercise authority on the earth except through the body of Christ. God's not going to stop the devil except he does it through the body of Christ. And if we don't do anything, then nothing will be done. Can you say amen? In Kenneth Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority, he tells about a vision that he had one time where Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus spoke to him face to face. And Jesus began to teach him about the believer's authority. And the end of the vision, an evil spirit that looked like a little monkey. There's different kinds of evil spirits. There's different levels. And this one looked like a little monkey or like a little elf. And it ran between Kenneth Hagin and Jesus in the vision. And it started jumping up and down. And it released like a black, dark cloud, like a smoke screen. And started jumping up and down, shouting, yakety-yak, 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 yakety-yak. And Kenneth Hagin, he couldn't see Jesus anymore because of this cloud. And he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. And he couldn't understand why Jesus didn't do anything about it. And finally, Kenneth Hagin cried out, "In the name of Jesus, you foul demon, I command you to stop." And instantly, that demon hit the ground. The black cloud disappeared. The demon lay there trembling, whimpering, like a little puppy dog. That demon wouldn't even look at him. Kenneth Hagin said to him, "Shut up and get out of here in the name of Jesus." And that demon just took off running. And Kenneth Hagin thought to himself, why didn't Jesus do something about that? Why did Jesus permit that? The Lord knew what Kenneth Hagin was thinking. And he said to him, if you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have. And Kenneth Hagin was astounded. He said, Lord, I must have not heard you right. You said, if I hadn't done something about that, you wouldn't have done something about that. The Lord said, no. If you hadn't done something about that, I couldn't have done anything about it. Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, I must have misheard you. I must have heard you wrong. You said if I didn't do something about it, you wouldn't have. No, the Lord said, I said if you hadn't done something about it, I couldn't have. Finally, Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, I just can't accept that. Imagine the Lord speaks to you. You see him in a vision and you're arguing with him. He said, Lord, I've never heard anything like that in my life. I need you to show me that in the Bible. Prove it by at least 3 scriptures. Because Jesus said every word shall be established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. He said, I want at least 3 scriptures to prove that. So Jesus just smiled at him and said, I'll give you 4 scriptures. Kenneth Hagin said, Lord, I've read the New Testament 150 times. And if that's in there, I don't know it. The Lord just said, son, there's a lot in there that you don't know. See, you might have read the Bible 100 times and think you know it all. There's still plenty you don't know. Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, there isn't one time in the entire New Testament where it says to pray that God would do anything against the devil. In fact, to do so is just to waste your time. The believer is told to do something about the devil. And the reason is because you have authority to do it. The church is to use the authority that belongs to it. He said the least member of the body of Christ has just as much authority over the devil as anybody else. And unless believers do something about the devil, nothing will be done. Jesus went on and said, I've done all I'm going to do about the devil. Until the angel comes from heaven and takes the chain and binds him and puts him into the bottomless pit. You know that's in the Bible? Revelation chapter 20. I saw a mighty angel descending from the heavenly realm, holding a heavy chain and a key in the key of the deep. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent known as the devil and Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. The mighty angel threw him into the pit, locked it, sealed it, so that he could no longer deceive the nations until the 1,000 years were over. Now, here's the 4 scriptures that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin. The first one we've already looked at. The first scripture the Lord gave Kenneth Hagin was Matthew chapter 28, in verse 18. Jesus came close to them and said, all the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority. After Jesus rose from the dead, he'd won all the authority in the universe. He immediately delegated and transferred it to his body, the church. See, Jesus can only work through his body, the church. Just like your head cannot exercise any authority except through your body, the same way with the body of Christ. The second scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin was Mark 16, verse 17. These miracle signs will accompany those who believe. Let me see your hand if you believe. How many of you believe? Let me see how many believers we got in the house today. Wave at me. Well, say this talking to me. These miracle signs will accompany those who believe. They will drive out demons in the power of my name. And they will speak with tongues and they will lay hands on the sick and heal them. Right? The first sign mentioned of following any believer is they will drive out demons. They will cast out demons by the power of the name of Jesus. You have authority to drive the devil out. You have authority to lay hands on sick people and they will be healed. Say, I have authority to pray for sick people and God will heal them. The third scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin is in James 4, verse 7. So then, surrender to God. Stand up to the devil and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. Now notice, the first part of that verse, surrender to God. You got to be surrendered to God to walk in this authority. Are you with me? That you have authority over the enemy. You stand up and resist him, he will turn and flee from you. You see, the Bible wouldn't tell us to do something about the devil if we didn't have the authority to do so. That authority is yours, whether you feel like it or not. Because authority, thank God, has got nothing to do with your feelings. But you have to use that authority. The fourth scripture that the Lord gave to Kenneth Hagin is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be well balanced and always alert, because your enemy, the devil, roams around incessantly like a roaring lion looking for its prey to devour. Take a decisive stand against him and resist his every attack with strong, vigorous faith. For you know that your believing brothers and sisters around the world are experiencing the same kind of troubles that you endure. See, you've got to demand the devil to stop. You've got to take a stand against him. If you resist him, he can't devour you. How do you resist the devil? You speak to him in the name of Jesus. That's how you exercise authority. You see, the word of God is our sword against the enemy. Jesus used the word of God to overcome the devil when he attacked him in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. We saw in Ephesians 6, we have an enemy that we wrestle against, demonic spirits. And it tells us we must put on the armor God has given us so we can stand victorious against the enemy's attacks. And part of our armor is the word of God. The word of God in Ephesians 6:16, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. And take the mighty razor sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God. See, that when you speak the word of God, it's like a sword that goes out. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. See, we say, I have an enemy, but I have authority over him. And I have mighty weapons. See, we have authority to use the power of God to do the same things that Jesus did when he was on the earth. We have the right to use his name, which is above every name. Every name must bow to that name. Anything that would try and harm us or destroy us or steal from us, realize that's coming from the enemy. Sickness is from the enemy. I said sickness is from the enemy. COVID-19 is from the devil. And I refuse to accept it. When everybody's getting it, this boy ain't getting it, because I refuse to accept COVID-19, because Jesus took COVID-19 and by his stripes I was healed. And if I find anybody who's got COVID-19, I'm going to lay my hands on them and I'm going to pray for them and they're going to be healed. Can you say amen, somebody? My God. Did God stop healing people because of COVID-19? This is from the enemy. Don't lie down, accept it. Rise up boldly and exercise authority. Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The New Living Translation says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Well, I forbid COVID-19 from coming on my body. Whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Whatever I permit will be permitted. You permit sickness in your body, God has to permit it. You permit lack in your finances,
God has to permit it. You permit fear to come into your mind, God has to permit it. Matthew 11:12, Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Can I tell you something? You got to get violent when it comes to dealing with the devil. You got to get aggressive when it comes to dealing with the devil, man. So many Christians are being devoured by the enemy because, number one, they don't realize the attack is coming from the enemy. And secondly, they don't know how to resist him with their God-given authority. And number three, even if they do know how, they don't do it. They say, oh, Pastor Steve, I don't know why God let this happen. I don't understand why God let this happen. Because whatever we permit, God has to permit. Stop waiting for God to change your circumstance, because God's waiting for us to use our authority. And you must take authority with your words. You must speak to the attack of the enemy. Speak to that problem. Speak to that sickness. Speak to that lack. Speak to that fear. Like one time when I was in the army, I was away for 3 months. We were living in South Africa. I was 25 years old. You had the two kids at home. I think you were 24, 25. And I was away for 3 months. We just, our first home. And we had this little home, and we had no walls yet, and we were still putting down, you know, lawn. And anyway, Jill came home one day, and she saw there were muddy footprints going down the passage. Someone had been in the house, and there were workers all around. And South Africa is very dangerous. I don't know if you know that, but crime is a real problem. There's 22,000 murders in Johannesburg every year. 50 murders a day in Johannesburg. That makes Chicago look like a walk in the park. And so she immediately became fearful. And she was sitting at home, and she said this fear came on her. Have you ever had fear? It's like a presence. And she realized what it was. Fear is from the enemy. And so she spoke out. She said, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. I command you to go from me right now. And just like that fear just went away. And the peace of God came upon her. And that she never had that fear again. Am I right? Pastor Theo, my pastor, he told me that he used to be a realtor. And often what would happen is he would sell someone a house, they'd sign the deal. But they had, in South Africa at that time, I don't know if it works that way here, Gigi, but they had 24 hours to cancel it. And sometimes they would call and say, we changed our mind. We want to cancel. And he said he always realized that I'm not fighting flesh and blood. And he would say, listen, can I ask you, please just take one more look at the house and just think about it for one more day. And then call me and let me know if you want to cancel. I'll cancel. Just look one more time and just think about it one more day. Then he put the phone down and he'd take authority over the devil. He'd say, devil, you're not going to steal the sale from me. I'm a tither. I tithe. And I take authority over you. He'd take authority over the enemy. I bind you from stealing the sale from me. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. He said to me, 99% of the time, they call him back and say, we decided we're going to go ahead with the house. You see, you got to take authority over situations in your life where the enemy is coming to frustrate you, steal from you, irritate you. In fact, I would encourage you to write down the things in your life that you want to stop or you want to see change, and take authority over that. Take authority over that sickness. Take authority over that lack. Take authority over that fear. Speak to that mountain. Are you with me? The enemy coming to trying to divide your marriage, divide your home. Realize who's behind it. Instead of fighting with your husband all the time or fighting with your wife, say, devil, you and me, man. I'm taking authority over you. You're not going to destroy my marriage. You're not going to interfere. You're not going to have my children. Our children will be mighty in the land. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. Instead of speaking about the mountain, speak to the mountain. Use authority over those demons that are trying to influence people to come against you. Someone tries to come against me. What do? Pastor Steve? I take authority over the demon that's using that person to try and attack me. Amen. And don't just use authority to try and stop the attack of the enemy, but use that authority to create favorable circumstances. Instead of saying, my boss just doesn't like me. I don't know why, but my boss just doesn't like me. Rather say, my boss loves me. My boss wants to promote me. My boss wants to give me an increase. I have favor with my boss. Instead of arguing with your family who don't know the Lord, your unsaved friends, instead of arguing with them, use your authority over the demons that are blinding them to the light of the gospel. Because let me tell you, anybody who hears about Jesus and hears the good news and doesn't surrender and receive the Lord, they are blinded. So you got to take authority. Devil, I command you to loose them. I take authority over you will not blind their eyes to the light of the gospel. I claim their salvation in the name of Jesus. Don't give the devil any place in your life. Do you know that the devil cannot take any place in your life unless you allow him to? Ephesians 4:27 says, nor give place to the devil. Don't give any place to the devil. The Amplified Bible says, leave no room, no foothold. Don't give him any opportunity. See, one way that we give place to the enemy in our life is with our words. If you say, oh, it's the flu season, I always get the flu, you just gave room for the enemy to bring the flu on you. If you say, I'm so afraid I'm going to get COVID, I'm so afraid, you just gave the enemy room to put COVID on you. If you say they're laying people off at work, I bet I'm going to get laid off, man. I never get any good breaks. Nothing ever goes my way. You just gave the devil the right to steal your job. People don't realize they give place to the enemy with their words. Rather say this with me, say, in the name of Jesus, I've been given authority. I'm the body of Christ. I'm seated with Christ. All things under my feet. I have authority over the devil and over demons. Say, Jesus said, if I speak to the mountain, it will be removed. If I resist the devil, he must flee. Whatever I bind, it will be bound. So I speak to you, devil, and every demon, I bind your efforts against me. Say, you will not hurt me. You will not steal from me. You will not harass me. Say, I declare I'm victorious. I'm healthy. I'm free. I'm prosperous. I'm full of peace. I'm full of joy. Say, I take authority of every demon attacking my finances. I command you, loose my finances in the name of Jesus. I release finances into my life. Say, I take authority over sickness. I resist sickness. I resist COVID in the name of Jesus. I do not allow you in my body in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am the healed, resisting sickness. I take authority over every attack against my marriage, against my family, against my children. I bind every demonic attack against me in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I am blessed. I am healed. I am victorious. I am healthy. Oh, I am overcoming. I am more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God is for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Lord, that miracles are happening in my life. The same things that happened in Jesus' life are happening through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you say amen, somebody? Come on. I preached a long time today. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but when I go to the movies and it's like a two-hour movie, I always feel like I'm getting a little extra for my money. You know, if it's like a two-and-a-half-hour movie, I feel like I'm getting a little extra for my money. Well, I always give you a little extra. when you come to church. Give you a little extra. Just bow your head for a moment. Stay right there. Bow your head for a moment. Everybody. Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you. Oh, Lord, we want to thank you. You came to the earth and you spoiled the principalities and the powers. You defeated death, hell, and the grave. You rose victorious and you gave that authority to us. Thank you, Lord, that we can live a life of victory. Thank you, Lord, for the authority you've given us. Thank you for the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person who's here this morning. I pray, Lord, that this word, your word, will just find a resting place in their heart, that your word will not return void, that we will not be just hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word. Thank you for helping us to put into practice what we've heard today. That, Lord, we're not going to just sit back and just let the devil roughshod over us, but we're going to stand up and resist him, take authority over him. Devil, you're a liar. And we thank you, Jesus. We read the end of the book. We win at the end. We thank you, Lord, you coming back. And we give you praise. While your head is bowed, while your eye is closed, I want to pray right now for anyone who's here this morning. If you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say you know for certain, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? Or do you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure if you died today that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can be sure about that. You can walk out of here today and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and God. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Oh, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right between me and God. I want to make sure that when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly just to lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand up. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I'm glad I'm saved. Say, I'm glad I'm a child of God. Say, I'm glad I'm redeemed. I'm glad heaven's my home. Say, I'm taking as many people with me. I'm taking as many people as I can with me. Amen.
Say, I'm glad my pastor preaches the truth. Man, let me tell you, that'll change your life. Do yourself a favor and listen to the message again this week. Take those notes. And last week's. For real. Especially if you weren't here. Listen to them again. That's the way you get it. You don't get it because you heard it one time. You get it because you meditate on it. You think about it, and then you put it into practice. Amen? I'll tell you what, we wouldn't be married if it wasn't for the authority. We would have kids that were doing something completely different if we didn't take authority. There's a lot of things in our life that is because of taking authority, right? Enforcing the Word of God. Well, now's the time in the service where we're going to have the opportunity to give. Thank you to those that give regularly online. It's such a blessing to our church. To have that consistent giving it makes things easier. Let me tell you that. But I always like to just share a scripture, and I'm going to read two verses today, and I'm going to read from Joshua 1. There's various ways you can give, and you can prepare yourself. You can just look at those first. There's various ways you can give. I don't like to take it for granted that people know, because I've been in a service as a guest at a church, and they were getting ready to do the offering, and I was like, how can I give? I couldn't see envelopes, and I never gave because I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I just want to make it easy for you. It's really simple, and there are envelopes in the seats in front of you. But I want to read you a passage, two verses from Joshua Moses is talking to Joshua, giving his successor, giving him some advice, and he says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you.
Oh, sorry, Moses, not talking.
Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, do you know that God wants you to be prosperous and successful? Let me tell you, that's the first thing you need to understand about God. Because there's a lot of wrong teaching and wrong thinking. You know, there is probably still somewhere in the world, a vow of poverty that people would look on and say that was godly. No, go back and read your Bible. God wants you to be prosperous and successful. So the first thing, that's why I like when I say, I just don't say I like the way Pastor Steve's preaching just because he's my husband or because that's what I should say. I like it because it's the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what will transform your life. So the Bible tells us, if you just take the time to read it, that God wants you to be prosperous and successful. You get that part and you've won half the battle, right? Because you have to know that. So the first thing is we have to know that God wants us to be prosperous and successful, and that's what this says. The second key to being successful and prosperous is that we have to obey what God says, right? Because this is what the verse says. Put verse 8 back up on the screen. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Be careful to obey. So when we hear what the Word of God says to us, let's just try follow that example. Let's just try follow those instructions. We don't always get it right, but where we can, let's obey what God says. If we want to walk in the light of His Word, then we've got to obey what He says, right? And then, if I had my glasses, I could read my note. We've got to... I'm okay. So that scripture, put it up there. It says, meditate in it. That's the other one. Meditate in it. If you feed on negative thinking, just like Pastor Steve said, if everybody's saying everybody's getting laid off, the job market, the housing market's so bad, I'll never afford a house. If you feed on all those things, you'll never have faith. Because faith begins where the will of God is known, and when you feed on the Word of God, it'll build your faith. So if you're having a problem in the area of finances, feed your faith with the Word of God. He says, meditate in my Word, be careful to do what I say, then you will make your way prosperous. So this morning, as we follow God's instructions concerning finances, we are making our way prosperous. We're not saying, God, help me out here. God, help me out here. He's given us the instructions. Follow my Word. So financially, have no problem. Tithe. Come, give the first to the Lord, like He says. He says, when you bring the tenth into my storehouse, I'll open the windows of heaven above you. When you begin to follow that, when you listen for the Lord, when you sow financial seed, when you let the Lord lead you into a generous lifestyle, you are making your way prosperous, and it'll lead you into success. Amen? So as you get ready to give, we're going to pray. If you're watching online, go ahead and give, and we're going to pray and believe God. Father, I thank you for each and every person that is listening and obeying your Word. I thank you that every promise in your Word is yes and amen. That as we obey your Word, you make our way prosperous, you make our way successful. I thank you, Father, for new contracts this week. I thank you for above and beyond. I thank you for new opportunities. I thank you for doors being opened where that man cannot shut. I thank you, Father, for increase upon your people, every need met, every bill paid, more than enough in the name of Jesus. If you agree with me, say amen. 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 I'm excited about our Christmas stuff. Go ahead, ushers. Thank you. I'm excited about the Christmas stuff, right? You just want me to say it? It's going to be good. Next week's our nativity. Go outside. Dolores takes good pictures, right, Dolores? She's going to take some good family pictures of you. And go ahead and do that after the service. Come on next week. We're going to have our live nativity. It's going to be so good. And we are going to follow this Christmas theme right throughout December. It's going to be amazing. All right, let's just wait for our ushers. Come close us in prayer.
Praise God. Something I was going to say and I forgot. Are you glad you came to church today? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you came to church today. I'm glad I came to church today. Say, I'm going to have a great week this week. I'm going to have a great month this month. Amen. Father, we want to just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your angels that protect us. Thank you, Lord, for the authority that you've given us. And we just thank you, Lord, that you guide us and direct us this week. Your Holy Spirit leads us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday, everybody. Have an awesome week. We'll see you next week.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas once more.